Great, we're live. Hi everyone and welcome to Online Events Made Simple live today. You lucky people, you've had two episodes this week. I'm Rhianne and I'm the Marketing and Events Manager here at Eventmind. And today I'm joined with the lovely Rich Davies from DRPG. Rich, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, so Rich Davies from DRPG and I am a Senior Account Director and Project Director. Been at the business for 10 years. Hopefully I don't look like I have. currently, working on the whole kind of new virtual world and soon to be hybrid world as well of events.
Exciting. So who are DRPG Group? For the people out there listening, I'm sure they've heard of it, but give a bit of a summary of who are you? What do you actually do? I know you kind of work in communications, which is a bit of a funny one this last year.
Yeah, definitely a funny year. So we are a global creative communications agency. That's kind of what we are. So we've got offices across the UK and Europe and USA as well. So we're a truly, truly global organization. And we've seen quite a big expansion over the last year, which is telling across the industry. Obviously, that hasn't been the case for all. And we've been incredibly lucky at the same time, kind of adapted as well, dare I say, to kind of deliver to this new world we found ourselves in over the last year. We are a strategic agency at heart. That's definitely where we see ourselves. So all of our solutions are underpinned by insight, research, strategy. And uniquely for us as a group, we are a full service delivery. So it's a very unique setup, but we are essentially nearly 400 people now, 400 team members, and we include everything in that. So everything from creative, comms, the ideation of the solution, but then we have the production teams as well. So you've got your comms teams, your digital teams. I mean, our digital team is, I think there's over 90 people now, which
that's amazing. Yeah,
is a small digital, a big digital digital agency in itself. So we then have the technical teams, the broadcast teams, video animators, print construction. So pretty much everything.
You've got bases covered.
Yes, yeah. And I think, I mean, I often say, to be honest, when I'm working, you know, at DRPG, that we are all experts within our own right. So we're all absolutely experts within our field and could find, you know, a silo agency or, you know, business to go and join. But we're also one team. We are one umbrella and we all work together on a daily basis, which makes us a bit of a force to be reckoned with, actually. It also makes it a great place to work, if I'm allowed to plug it being a great place to work as well. It's a brilliant business, and we've transformed drastically over the last year, to be fair. We now see ourselves with 11 studios, broadcast studios.
Oh, wow, amazing.
So we previously had four, because virtual and broadcast is not something that's new to us, so we had a bit of a head start, definitely, with COVID. But we've seen an expansion. We've got now an extra seven, so a lot of them are based in our Worcester studios, which is our kind of global HQ, and then we've got studios across the UK, and we partner with some studios in America as well. So yeah, quite
amazing.
A broad
offering. You're definitely kept busy. And I love that you touched on the full service delivery, because this is something we do at Eventmind and it's hard work. So it's great to know, you know, you've got 400 employees, you've got plenty of people to be helping out. It must be pretty tough, but what are the benefits of using kind of an agency, a company like you, for people who might be listening, wondering, you know, is this something I should look into? Is this something I'm missing out on?
Wow, that's amazing. What I normally have to back up this, let's say we're in a pitch position, is the craziest mind map of the process you might go through with an agency that maybe looks after just the strategy piece or the comms piece or the event delivery, potentially. What we're able to do is maintain control, but also kind of value against the narrative for the event, the solution, whatever it might be. So it becomes a real red ribbon, and because we're in it day to day, it's a DRPG badge on top of everybody who's on the project. We are able to control that and also make it a much more seamless experience for the planning teams, the client base, and the brands that we work with. We know that quite often some of the stuff that we do is added kind of roles and responsibilities to the business as usual for our clients. So for them, this is the 8 o'clock meetings or the 5 o'clock meetings, and they're trying to scramble to organize whatever it might be in between their actual day job quite often. So being able to come to an agency and say, I want to give this you from end to end, right from creative through to the delivery, I think is something that we found incredibly successful, and the feedback we get is pretty unanimous as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think time management is a massive thing this past year, along with everything else. I think people are realizing a lot of things can be externally resourced. Like, why should you, like you said, in between meetings, in between people organizing events, it's nice to know there's the professionals out there. So you're not, you know, panicking too much about everything else. So it's nice that the option's there.
Definitely, definitely. I think resource and having ownership of those production teams is a huge advantage. I mean, we've all sat there with a brief that's changed at 6 o'clock at night and it goes into production, or the deadline was 8 o'clock the next morning and suddenly the title's changed or whatever it might be. Yeah. Having those production teams means that we're able to react as well as support as well, which is, yeah, really important.
Definitely. And what challenges did you face this year? We know, you know, it's not been a plain sailing year for anyone, whether you're a team of two or a team of 2,000, you know, it's been a tough year. What challenges did you face alone? Because I can imagine there was quite a few working within communication.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been quite an incredible year, hasn't it? Obviously, we're nearly the anniversary of the very first lockdown. So for me, nobody chose this, right? So none of us decided that we wanted to be in lockdown. And for some people across the UK, for most of the 12 months as well, I think is what we need to remember. And it's been an incredible year, despite the tragedies on a human level. I think we've all been through quite a lot. And I mean, I'm working from my spare bedroom. I would have never said I was doing this. Some people have been working from their beds, from their dining room tables.
I'm in the kitchen.
Exactly, yeah. And I think what's been remarkable is seeing the ability that we're all able to adapt and change, and showing how incredibly versatile we are as people, I suppose. Yeah. For me, on a professional level, I suppose it's been ensuring that we stay focused on our clients' needs as things change drastically day by day in the early days and month by month as kind of the story has been unfolding, and that we're there to support through these uncertain times, because there is no playbook for this. This was a new set of rules that we're all kind of adhering to. And I think our clients, our brands were struggling, right, to get their message across, because this is something that we've been faced with before, and a lot of people had their hands forced. I think on a personal level, I've been incredibly lucky. I became a dad for the first time last year. Thank you. Yeah, hence you can see the bags in my arms. January last year, welcomed my lovely daughter into the world. And for me, I think I remind myself every day of how lucky I've been, in a sense of being in the same house and being able to see her grow up over the last 12 months. And I think we do have to remind ourselves of what we've been able to do as well. I've been able to remind myself I can't play guitar, pick that up and quickly put that back down again. And I definitely need to give up. We've also hopefully all had more opportunity to talk to friends and family. I mean, I've now got a WhatsApp group, a Facebook, an Instagram with my friends. I mean, I talk to them more than I ever did before. So I think, from on a professional level, it's been really challenging, and on a personal level, incredibly challenging as well, as it has been for everybody. But I think it's also looking at the silver lining, what opportunities have come from this as well.
Definitely. And it definitely sounds like your company are thriving. You know, we're nearly towards the end, fingers crossed, of lockdown. So it's so great to know that, you know, you've managed to get through it. And like you said, I think so much, although it's been such a negative time, so many companies are adapting and realizing, actually, like, this has actually been really good for us. So it's great to know that, you know, it's gone that way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really unfortunate and sad to see that not the whole industry has the same story as well. We have seen casualties, and let's face it, probably will see casualties throughout this year as well, because the return of live events isn't coming anytime fast, or, you know, it certainly isn't going to be something that kind of we switch on overnight. So it is incredibly sad to see that, but equally the innovation that we've seen with businesses. I mean, I can talk for DRPG. As I say, we've actually taken on people. We've expanded in the last 12 months. And I think it's just brilliant to be on the forefront of those conversations, of that innovation, that kind of creativity is something that definitely drags me out of bed, bags and all, from having. But yeah, it's been an incredible year.
Yeah, no, it's so great to hear. And how do you position yourself, or how did the company position itself in this new virtual world? It's great to know that you've been recruiting, because that's something many people have struggled with, job loss or not having the money to recruit. So how did you position yourself to your clients specifically? Because, you know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, I'm not interested in virtual events, or I'm not interested in all of this digital stuff. How did you get through that?
So, really interesting. Yeah, you're right. Brands and clients did struggle. Some had maybe their heads buried in the sand for a short period of time, so we'll just wait for this to blow over. Others had an important message to tell, and that message couldn't fall by the wayside or couldn't be delayed. So I think for us, first and foremost, having that full service delivery and having kind of, 80, 90 digital team members, we've been doing this for a long time virtually. So we've been putting on virtual events for, I mean, before I even started, going back to the room, and obviously it's been on a hell of a transformational journey. But even kind of the last 3, 4 years, we've been holding kind of regional events and hub events where we've had a virtual audience and then audiences that are kind of more of the hybrid model, I suppose. So for us, we were always geared up. It was just making sure that actually we were there to support our clients on their journey and what their
Definitely.
understanding of it was. The interesting thing, I think, is that unlike kind of live events, dare I say, there is an element of formality to them. Let's take procuring a coach company. You might have a coach company that is your international supplier, and no matter where your event is, you ring up the phone to the coach company and say, I have X amount of people to deliver to here. Thanks very much. All under a service agreement. Virtual events, I think we delivered, I don't know the exact number, but it was over 500 projects last
That's
year.
amazing.
And not one of those were the same. Like it's always a different story to tell, be that the solutions. It could be broadcasts. We've had virtual worlds, virtual environments, 360 environments, virtual reality, augmented reality, all of the obvious kind of differentiators, but then also the digital architecture that sits underneath that, the complexities that mean that it's going to work for you as a business because of who you are and what your teams are doing, their roles, how they engage with this kind of stuff. For one client, you might have a team of retail colleagues that are in a store or in a call center that have an hour a day maximum to kind of engage with something. Other teams might have a more kind of self-working, flexible working organization, which means that you can absolutely give them 3 days worth of amazing content. So I think it's just making sure that we were understanding of the client's needs over the last 12 months. It was new for a lot of people, but ultimately it is making sure you go on that journey as the professionals to guide, lead, and also help them their side with some of the pains around security, network, and
That's it. And you touched on a really good point there. There's so much you can do with virtual events. I think a lot of people, when they first come about, it must have been around a year ago when they got really, really big and everyone's like, what is virtual events? I think people weren't aware of all of the things you can do. I mean, you think of virtual events and automatically you just think of like Zoom or like a call like this. But I've been on so many demos where you can be like a little avatar, or there's just so much you could do. Like you said, VR, AI, you can make them super fun and super cool, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's been a real eye opener. And we've been doing a lot of kind of entry and exit polls on a lot of our virtual solutions. And the engagement scores are just as good, if not better. And the reason for that is actually you're able to add a bit more kind of unique functionality or usability, depending on who you are as well, because you are essentially entering a digital platform of some description, whatever that might be. So I can get a definite, hi Rich, nice to see you're in X. By the way, the weather is where you are. If you're gonna pop out for lunch today, obviously not out, but in the garden for lunch, an umbrella, so on and so forth. So I think there is a level of engagement that has definitely stepped up, and you can still get a great message across virtually. Absolutely.
Definitely, yeah. And I know you touched on hybrid. Hybrid is like the buzzword. We were literally saying before we went live, hybrid is the buzzword. It's all you're hearing about on your LinkedIn, on your Instagram, it's everywhere. What's your views on hybrid? Where do you see events going? I know it's probably something you've thought about. And have you attended any before? Because I think they're relatively new, where people aren't really sure how they work, or from the organizer point of view, how they work on the money side of things.
Yeah, definitely. So, Hybrid is, I mean, what is hybrid ultimately, right? So I think a big thing that we're doing now as a group is demystifying the word, because there is a lot of kind of throwing around the buzzword hybrid, hybrid, hybrid. It's nobody's really getting to the crux of what it is. And ultimately, it means something different for everybody. So in terms of our experience, we've been putting on hybrid events for a lot of our clients for a few years now. I mentioned kind of like the regional hubs that kind of all link to a central hub. What will definitely be dialed up is this kind of virtual experience. And I think we've now got a journey to go on with each of our brands, our partners, our clients to understand what hybrid means for them. I mean, on a personal level first, I think we all need to kind of gain a bit of trust in the outside world again, quite possibly, in 12 months now that we need to be locked away, and rightly so for the right reasons. And we know we've all been playing our part, but I think we all need to spend a little bit of time potentially this summer with friends, family, getting used to being around people, not
So
having
true.
of that busy train station or that event that you've chose to go to on a personal level. And I think once we've all done that, then we will start looking at the business events and not have an adverse kind of reaction to going to a face-to-face business event. So that is a journey I think we all need to go on. On the
Yeah,
flip side of
definitely.
that, not to be controversial to my own point, but I think we're fickle as a race, as a species. I think we tend to forget things quite quickly. All soon fall in love again with those big outdoor experiences that we're all craving, to be honest with you. I think on a kind of human level, what makes us is these live experiences, the conviviality of being around people, your senses, the see, feel, touch. I mean, smell is such a powerful sense. I mean, I'm full of life events at the moment, but it was my birthday yesterday, and made the point of having a nice birthday breakfast before work. So we had pancakes and bacon
Oh,
and maple
nice.
syrup. And instantly, I'm eating my dinner downstairs in what's been my office, my playground, my life for 12 months. And I was transported lucky enough to go to New York a few years ago, and I was instantly transported to this little restaurant on the corner of one of the streets there. And that is something that we're all craving, and that's why hybrid will be such a huge thing that's coming up kind of 2021 and 2022. It's really interesting, because I think the key thing for me for hybrid, and this is the understanding that we all need, is around the dual audience engagement. So
That's a
we've
concern as well. I think, like, how do you engage someone virtually, but also someone who's maybe there in person? It's so tricky.
Exactly. I mean, we've spent the last, what, 12 months opening the door to this new kind of audience that are online. The last thing you can do now is shut that door and go back to what it once was. So there is forever going to be this dual audience, and the key is going to be giving them a kind of parallel experience, I suppose. So you give them a parallel experience through different experiences, not at the same time. So it's tailored content, the same content, but tailored for both audiences. It's digital platforms, it's the interactivity. There is always going to be two steps of engagement now with every touch point for each event.
Definitely.
Interestingly, our insights team have been doing, like I say, a bit of insight into exit polls and entry polls on our virtual solutions. But we've gone out and done a big piece of work around kind of hybrid, flexible working, blended teams, and all this moving into 2021. And it was something like 4 out of 5 people, I think it was just short of 80% of people, expect to see flexible working hours when they get back.
Interesting.
And we need to be reflective of that in our events as well. And that is
Definitely.
also people's stance on attending or not attending event. And the choice should actually be with the person that we're inviting. Would you like to be there in person or online? Which is really important.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that as well, because living in London, the thought of getting on a tube now to go to an event, it just does not interest me. I'd rather just sit here in my comfies and my slippers and actually just be able to virtually attend. So I think,
Exactly.
if event organizers are listening, definitely offer, if it's in your scope, the option, because I think you're going to get so much more traction to the event.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, well, for us, that kind of research internally is kind of happening already as well. So we've been looking a lot at kind of how we streamline those experiences. So registration. We've got an audience that are at home, and we've got an audience that are live in the event as well. The registration process, we don't want two registration sites, two project teams, two logistics managers. It needs to be simple from a planning perspective for our clients, but also for those that are attending the event as well. The access to content, is there a brilliant digital solution that kind of blends the two experiences? Having a voice in the room, I think, is going to be really important, because one thing we're all able to do now, and virtual has opened it up even more so, is influence the event, have your voice heard, your vote heard, your collaboration, all of this stuff we've seen on virtual platforms. So I can't then be expected to join an event because I can't, through travel or through needs or must or personal experience, to then just be a passenger, to be a passive participant in this live event, because I'm not fortunate enough to be in the room. So it's making sure that we get that angle across as well. And we need to remember, for me, there's a big part, and we're hearing it a lot in the industry at the moment, around sustainability as well.
Yeah, so definitely.
How sustainable are these really large events when we're looking at, let's say it's a truly global event and you've got 300, 400, 500 people traveling from all over the UK who've just spent the last 18 months, maybe 2 years by that time, joining virtual solutions and having, you know, much less impact on this wonderful world that we live in. So I think that will play a huge part in the deciding factors as well, with how we play our hybrid event.
Definitely. It's so weird now to think, when I used to work in live events, now I'm in virtual, to think I would stay in a hotel the night before. Mm-hmm. Completely unnecessary now. You travel, completely unnecessary. And even just to have the venue cost and, you know, the amount of food being made, the amount of coffee and tea being made all in one place, it's that you can, you know, you can cut all of this out, especially if, like you said, you're traveling abroad, especially for one event.
Absolutely. And I think those kind of come down to the key planning decisions. So looking at the invite criteria really carefully, because of course there are absolute positives and bonuses to having people in a room together. So questioning who needs to be in the room together, or whether it's your role in the strategy or the narrative or whatever might be part of that event, or be it a brand launch or whatnot. But it could also be down to, if it's an evening event, maybe it's your recognition winners that get to go, and that's a really easy invite criteria to say you get to go because you're a really special person and we're going to put you on a plane and you're going to go and have this really convivial experience. For everybody else, they're going to tune in, but you're a chosen one because you're an award winner, right? There are so many facets of situations that you could find yourself in, but I think it's going to be
definitely a really Yeah, I know. I'm excited to see where this year's going. And we've just had a question come through from Ryan. Do you think it will be fast or slow paced, the return of live? That's a really good question, because everyone has such different views, I think.
Definitely. So I think there is an element of, like I say, there's the personal journey that we've all got to go on. Again, I think it will come down to circumstance, and that is such a way of me backing out of the conversation. But I think if you're looking at a UK-based event and you've got UK employees, I think at that point we're seeing noise around kind of autumn time and towards the end of the year. Perhaps it is your kind of end of the year get-togethers, which is a nice stepping stone towards getting people. You can wrap it around the kind of close of the calendar year, and it feels like the right time. For some of our global clients who are creating these events that always have a huge footprint, I think full live events are going to be a bit more of a baby step process to get to it, because we've got to look at the pandemic on a global scale at that point. And we are in the UK and we have a vaccination and there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel. That's not the same when we look at it at a kind of global view of it. So in short, I think local events will come much quicker. Hopefully we'd like to see them towards the end of this year, but I think most people will probably push to 2022 being the year. Hybrid events, I think we will see key events happening this year. So your senior leadership teams, your kind of middle management, your really important brand launches will happen this year because they'll need to. But I think the larger scale stuff will probably fall into 2022, is my personal opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think not even just for the organisers, but for the attendees, I don't know how comfortable I would be to go to a live event in June when things are supposed to be back open. So I think for the safety as well, then your best bet is probably pushing it into the next year. But who knows, in a month's time, things could all change. I think it's taking it day by day.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing that I find really interesting is that we all have to go on a journey and go to, you know, maybe it's your favorite band and you're absolutely willing to, you know, take that step because you've been desperate for 5 years, right? When we look at corporate events or, you know, these kind of controlled public events that you know, a paper ticket or whatever it might be, you're actually stepping into what is probably the most controlled environment you're going to be in. Your minute-by-minute flow is pretty much pre-planned for you. We want you here to have a chat with so-and-so. Then we want you over here to grab a bacon sandwich or an egg sandwich, depending on your diet. And then we want you over here to check out the keynote. So I think there is a strong argument for live events to come back and come back much sooner than people probably anticipate, because we're able to bring people into a really controlled environment.
Definitely, I completely agree. And that's such a good way to end it, Rich. It's been so lovely speaking. I could speak for so much longer, but I always need to keep it to the 20-30 minute mark. So yeah, it's been so nice speaking. Where can people find you to reach out if they'd like to have a chat about anything we spoke about, or just to find out more about the company?
Yeah, of course. So if you want to reach out to me personally, I would search me on LinkedIn. So Rich Davis, DRPG, and you'll see this face, probably black and white, on my profile picture. And then DRPG, so drpgroup.com is our website, and you can check us out there. But equally, you can email me if you want some more information. So richard.davis@drpgroup.com, and I'm happy to have a chat with anyone should they wish to.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for coming on today. It's been super, super insightful. And for anyone who did listen live, or if you're listening on demand, it's also been really great having you. If you want any advice about how to take your events digital or virtual, email me at rianne@eventmindpro.com, and we will see you all next week.
Amazing. Thank you for the invite. Really enjoyed it.